Ok, grazie.
Okay, you're live.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for getting together, calling this meeting to order of the City of Hood River Budget Committee. First up is introductions. And if Rachel, you could point at people and chat at people that way, that's organized.
Chair Paulson, say that again. Would you like me to
introduce everybody? Yeah, if you could just call out people's names one by one, that way it's more organized as opposed to.
Sure, we'll go around my square. How about, why don't you start us off though?
Sure, Grant Paulson, been on the budget committee for a while, West Cliff Lodge.
Thank you. Councillor Saunders?
Megan Saunders, been a second term of city council.
Rudy
Kellner, second year on the budget committee. I'm from Freem. Thanks for having me. Happy to help.
Thank you. Councillor Dan Miller.
Yeah, Mark Dan Miller, city council. Glad everyone's here to help us get through this.
Councillor Mehta.
Jessica Mehta, city council. It's my first term, so I think this is the third time doing this.
Mayor McBride.
Hi, Kate McBride, previous city councilor, now mayor. I've done this numerous times, and I'm glad we are a year in to where we were last year when we started this process. I'm thankful for that.
Councilor Cunahan.
Tim Cunahan, Hood River City Council.
Councilor Haney.
Hi there, Eric Haney, Hood River City Council, and I had to count my fingers, but like Jessica, this is my third rodeo through the budget committee.
Councillor Bick, I gave you a promotion. Committee.
Hey.
Dave
Bick, I've been on the budget committee for either 3 or 6 years, I'm not sure, but anyway, it's been fun. Glad to be back.
Thank you. Gary? Oh, you're muted, Gary. We're doing quick round of introductions. You're muted.
Sorry, not quite as prepared as I had hoped. This is my second year, if that's the question. And hi, everybody. Sorry.
Thanks for being with us. And let's see, Will, do you want to introduce yourself?
Will Norris, finance director, and I believe this is my fourth city.
Great. And I'm Rachel Fuller, city manager, and we've got some staff
We have Ross. I don't know if he could unmute, but we have Ross Brown.
I'm sorry about that. Ross. Thanks, Mayor. Ross, if you're on your phone, press *6. Okay, and my office phone number, Ross, is 541-387-5252, and I'll see if Jen, who's also on, can send you an email, and we'll try to get you unmuted there. So, okay. What we'll do, if it's okay with you, Chair, we have some staff here. Some might be new, but they will be presenting in future nights.
Yep, sounds good. The first thing we have to do is elect new officers for this year. So we need somebody to be the chair. Do we have any nominations or volunteers for being chair?
How much are you enjoying this, Grant? It seems like you really like it.
So much. If you want, I can do it again. That's fine.
I would appreciate that, I know.
Also move then.
A motion from Amy.
I'll second.
And Mayor seconds to keep me on as chair. all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. And next up, we need a vice chair for this year. Any nominations or volunteers?
Nominate Rudy Kellner.
I don't know what to say, but I'll be happy to help if that's useful at this point.
All you have to do, if I'm not around, is just follow the agenda and make sure everything stays on track.
Thanks.
Call me to order, that sort of thing. Call votes, etc.
Yep. Happy to participate and learn. Thank you.
I'll second the motion.
Yep. Motion from Councilor Cunahan, second from the mayor. Rudy is vice chair. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Rudy is vice chair. Thanks. Next up is approval of the meeting minutes from May 13th, 2020.
I would move to approve the minutes from May 13th, 2020.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Motion from Councilor Megan, second from Dave. We approve the minutes. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Aye. Motion passes. And then next is the presentation of the budget message. Rachel.
Great, thank you, Chair. I'm gonna start this presentation. Hopefully everybody can see that. First, I just wanna thank everybody for being here. I wish you a good evening. Thanks for your volunteering your time and to work through this and for being with us tonight. I also want to recognize that we've all been through a very difficult year, and I want to start by expressing my sincere and heartfelt gratitude to the organization who showed up and provided essential services to the community during the pandemic, to the community who came together and provided for one another in new and sometimes different ways, and to the City Council for their steadfast leadership, commitment, and vision for the community.
Rudy, Rachel, we're not seeing your screen.
Oh, you're not? Thank you for interrupting. All right, Will, do you have it now?
Good, yep.
There you go, Ross. That makes you feel any better. I'm right there with you. Okay, so gratitude, organization, community, City Council, thank you very much, and thanks again for being here. It is, as Rudy mentioned at the very beginning, this is the screen we showed last year, and it's hard to believe that it's been a year since we were here today and what a year it's been. We used this slide to demonstrate our goals and strategies for the COVID operational period, and last year presented a proposed budget along with various scenarios should conditions change. And while nothing went quite as expected for any of us, we did meet our goals by sticking with these strategies. We made smart financial decisions, monitored the pandemic and our revenues closely. And while we're not out of the emergency yet, we withstood a major financial shock to the organization. Will is going to go through our revenues in more detail after this presentation, but overall, revenues are largely where we expected them to be without federal funds and entirely recovered when you consider the American Rescue Funds. Although the recent uptick in cases is concerning, and as are the new shutdowns imposed on businesses statewide, as an organization, we have moved into the recovery period thanks to vaccines and to increased support from the federal government. And these are the principles that will guide us through this period. Equity, because the pandemic made clear the vulnerabilities and the disparities within our community. Financial stability, we did not reduce services or resize the organization. The city has maintained incredible fiscal discipline over many years, and the budget continues this discipline. And because we did not make any drastic cuts, we are
I'm all good now. Ready. Thank you.
Is that Ross? Great. We are poised and ready to continue to maintain those services. We updated financial policies before the pandemic, and those guided preparation of this budget. Continuous improvement, because we have learned so much about how we work and how we can work. And we're also a very lean organization, and that certainly benefited us during the pandemic. And finally, the pandemic, in my view, strengthened community collaboration with regards to emergency management, economic development, and health. And if sustained, will allow us to tackle broad community challenges. This is an overview of the American Rescue Plan. Shows how much money is coming to the state and to the city and the eligible uses for these funds. The city will receive approximately $1.6 million over two budget periods, which aligns with the revenue lost due to the pandemic. These funds are used to replenish fund balance that we used to maintain services during the pandemic. They're used to restart projects that were put on hold and to make investments to maintain the fundamental city services. Hood River is different from other communities and organizations who may be able to use these funds purely for recovery efforts. Measure 50 passed in 1997 froze city and county property tax rates, leading to enormous disparities in permanent rates across the state. Hood River has a low permanent property tax rate and relies on a variety of revenue sources for the general fund, including transient room tax, parking, and franchise fees. For example, property tax alone does not cover the cost of fire and police services. Because of our low rate and reliance on other sources, we were and are more susceptible to losses in revenue tied to consumer spending. As revenues stabilize, the city council will decide whether to place any future surplus revenue in a reserve fund. We have not yet established that fund. For now, the American Rescue Plan funds are allocated to the general fund. The budget is the legal authority to spend money to deliver services to the community. And these are the inputs that we consider: the day-to-day operations, the council work plan, our financial policies, and Oregon budget law. Again, it's the legal authority to spend money. It's an estimate based on the information we have available to us today of the revenue that we'll receive and what it will cost to deliver services and outcomes to the community. You'll hear more about the essential services the city provides from each of the department directors, but very broadly, the city owns and maintains community infrastructure, such as water, sewer, roads, and physical assets. The community relied on these services during the pandemic and will continue to do so as we recover. These assets are leveraged by the private sector for investment in homes, businesses, and buildings. This budget continues to make significant investments in community infrastructure and positions the city to access and leverage federal funds should they become available. Public safety, these are the people that show up when something goes wrong. 24/7 emergency response from police, fire, and EMS. The budget funds these services at consistent levels, adding funding for contract services and fire marshal, and an evaluation of the sustainability of a rural ambulance service, as ambulance services now account for 20% of our calls. The city regulates the built environment through a series of codes and regulations. We've recently completed some very significant planning and policy work tied to the council work plan. And the budget funds additional contract services and planning to evaluate land use processes and add some capacity. With the leadership of the City Council, we made several investments in technology prior to the pandemic that allowed us to pivot city services to a remote environment. The budget continues investments in technology to maintain streaming capabilities and other essential investments such as switches and servers. And finally, on the third night, the Urban Renewal Agency will review the Urban Renewal budget. And in that budget, there are significant investments in downtown. This is the third year of the Council Work Plan. The Council Work Plan represents the collective community vision of the City Council, and the work plan informs this budget. The high-level goals of the work plan include community outcomes such as equitable housing, inclusion, engagement, efficient and safe transportation systems, well-maintained community, including investments in infrastructure, environmental sustainability, and parks and open space. The work plan is individual projects that over time move us closer to the council's vision for the community. And the budget includes dedicated funding for these projects, contract services for the affordable housing production strategy and the zoning code improvement projects, funds to negotiate a developer agreement for the Rand Road development, the affordable housing development, significant investment in our equity and inclusion work, asking the questions, what are the barriers to full inclusion in our community and our organization? And what does it look like for the city as a local government service provider to partner with the community to achieve these goals around inclusion? Consistent with this inclusion work is community engagement. And we've added a half-time community engagement coordinator. This is split with Urban Renewal to move forward on those efforts. Funds are allocated to study SDCs, which will be done with an eye towards affordable housing. Significant investment is made to take the hydroelectric feasibility study to the next phase. And we've included funds to repair or replace the tennis courts. Other projects require partnerships with various entities, such as the historic Columbia River Highway, the local bus route. And this our partnership with CAT involves providing bus passes to those who need them. And we have our Safe Routes to School project, which is a partnership with ODOT and with the school district. So just a final note on partnerships. One of the silver linings, as I said before, of the pandemic has been the strengthening of community partnerships and the recognition that no one entity can deliver broad community outcomes alone. The city is actively engaged in the Community Health Improvement Project and the Community Economic Development Strategy. These partnerships, in conjunction with the Council Work Plan, position the community and the organization for recovery and strength over the long term. And with that, I'll turn it over to Will for the revenue forecast.
Thank you, Rachel. Let me share my screen. Thank you. Can everyone see my presentation? Great. So this is a three-year forecast, and it is mandated by our financial policies for many years and included in this most recent update to our financial policies in 2020. And we're going to get into department-specific presentations in future meetings, but what this is really talking about is that 3,000 or 30,000-foot view of the entity as a whole. Are we on a sustainable path? I'm going to focus on the general fund, but we go through this same process with all of our enterprise funds, me and the public works director do to make sure that those funds are also on sustainable footing. So I'd like to start with the prior year's forecast. We have vastly improved our situation. You can see the projected fund balance drop that this was the view that this group was looking at 12 months ago. The heightened expenditures for 2021 were an economic development or an economic recovery program to help with the local response to COVID, as well as proportional investment for the general fund into a PERS side account that drew a 25% match from the state. Revenues look flat here, but really that's because we did a pause on the urban renewal division of tax, which resulted in a property tax bump of a little over $500,000 accruing to the general fund. And that really helped offset which were bottom falling out on many of our major revenue sources that are tied to consumer discretionary spending, lodging taxes being the most dramatic example, being almost eliminated going into some of our busiest months. This also illustrates how revenues are starting to improve. And in fact, in the past few months, even showing growth over pre-COVID levels. Although I will note that parking and municipal court are still fairly depressed. So this urban renewal pause allowed us to continue to put money towards that PERS side account and fund all existing structural programs of the city, and resulted in us establishing a $2 million side account that will begin to reduce our ongoing future PERS expenses. And we were able to do that also because of the significant fund balance that this budget committee and city council had developed over many, many years. What happened was revenues did not decline nearly as much as expected because the federal government came in with aid. $1 million in 2021, and that includes CARES Act monies that were used for local recovery programs, and $795,000 that we expect to receive this fiscal year, and then $795,000 that we will expect to receive next fiscal year. And that's why you see the bump in revenue for going into 21-22 over a previous year's forecast. And then expenditures were slightly less than projected. And that's the way that we like to forecast is expect that people will spend their budgets and know that people usually come in with a small amount of savings. And then next year, expenditures have increased over last year's forecast because we're now that we don't have a plummeting fund balance, we can restart those one-time projects, all those one-time projects tied to city council goals that Rachel went over in her budget message. And so those are one-time expenditures, and that's not ongoing structural costs for the vast majority of those projects. So the budget is structurally balanced, even though you see that red line above the blue line. Now, expenses exceed revenues by $300,000, but when you take away those one-time expenditures and just look at structural ongoing costs, there's actually a $170,000 structural surplus built in to the 2021 budget, consistent with the city's financial policies. And then after those one-time projects are over, we settle back into normal long-term trends for 21-22. Really, we're quite aligned with the previous year's three-year forecast by 22-23. And that means that our fund balance is stable. The projections right now are for a slightly decreasing fund balance in the future. But that's based on some fairly conservative revenue estimates. And that's really what we want to plan for and show that we are on solid footing, even if we have a very slow recovery. So what is underlying these conservative revenue assumptions? So what we have is property, you see the property tax bump that we got from the urban renewal pause. That goes away for 21-22, but with the exception of Columbia Cascade does a partial collection. So that's and that's why you see it dip down and then come back up a little bit kind of quickly too, where that the steepness of going from 21-22 to 21-23 is a little bit steeper than from 22-23 to 23-24. It's because we're doing one last small partial collection for Columbia Cascade before it reaches its maximum indebtedness, and then 100% of Columbia Cascade's assessed value will be on the general rolls. The forecast assumes lodging taxes will not get back to pre-COVID levels until 22-23, and that's probably the very most conservative estimate in this whole projection. We're already seeing growth in, over the last quarter as compared to pre-COVID levels in lodging tax collections. Ambulance revenues are, the budget is built on ambulance revenues declining to pre-COVID levels, and parking revenues incrementally improving and getting back to normal 2 years from now in 22-23. And parking meter revenues, unless we increase the rate for more than $1 an hour or increase the size of the geographic area that we meter, are very consistent. We kind of know maximum revenue that our town has achieved. And so we expect to get back to that in 2 years from now. That's another conservative assumption. Some upside potential on the tail end of the forecast that is not yet definite enough for me to incorporate it into the numbers, but something to keep in mind is the expiration of the waterfront district could be in 24-25, maybe 23-24, that we'll start to see the waterfront district reach its maximum, collect as much money as it's gonna collect, just as the Columbia Cascade district did. And then all of that assessed value that's been kept off the rolls will go back to the general tax rolls, and will be about the size of the Columbia Cascade is today. So it's basically another Columbia Cascade district going back onto the general rolls. We will also see the per site account that we created in the current fiscal year start to shed off rate credits. So the $2 million that we have set aside for us, that grows with market performance and is on an actuarial basis spent down proportionally, similar to a retirement account, with the expectation that it is consistently sort of drawn down and applied against our PERS expenses over 20 years. And that will, it's expected to drop our PERS expenses by about 10 to 20%. And in actual dollars for the general fund, that's about $150,000 to $250,000 that it's going to save the city on a structural ongoing basis. Again, these are things that we know are going to happen, but have not been built into this chart just yet. So with that, I'll open up to any questions on the three-year forecast. And if there are none, we can move ahead with the agenda too.
I do have a question. Based off of everything that you've just presented to us, whatever potential dollars, federal dollars that the city has received, sounds like that decision has already been made as to where those dollars are going to be allocated. And I'm curious as to, is that a council decision or how did that work?
So, the budget is in your hands at this point. We've proposed to use the rescue plan money at this point to stabilize fund balance instead of drawing down fund balance. And we have until 2024 to spend money as well. So it's staff's job to propose this budget, but now it is moving on to the budget committee and the council to decide how you want to spend the public's resources.
And I would add that, again, the financial policies guide the preparation of the budget. Those were approved and adopted by the City Council. And I would also say, though, Councillor, you are raising, a good question. And I think it is fair to say that thanks to the federal funds, the city is in a strong financial position. And so if there are investments that the City Council wants to make at some point in the future towards recovery, regardless of the federal funds, the city is in a position to have those conversations.
Perfect, thank you for clarifying.
There's no other questions on the three-year forecast. We can continue. Okay. All that's left on the agenda is recess.
That's what this beginning meeting's for, is just that broad overview. And we'll have the department presentations for the next two.
Yep. Okay. Well, if there's nothing anybody else has in their mind wants to talk about.
I've got one thing, you know, it's connected to our upcoming meetings, if I may. I think it's, first of all, congratulations that, you know, you were able to put together a plan for a pandemic and execute. Really well done. And we'll, you know, I'm sure we'll talk through that next couple of meetings. But given the conservative nature of your forecast for this coming year, especially with your transient room tax, you know, we could argue about, you know, what shape the recovery will be. And, you know, we're all going to be wrong, of course. But, maybe something to think about is, I'd love to hear in the upcoming meetings, you know, what important projects are we not doing because we have a rather conservative view on the next like 24-month recovery? Seems there's like a lot of pressure on the city for development, and you know, we'll hear from staff on, you know, what they're being asked to deliver. But I'd love to understand from you all, you know, what's just below the cut line that may be above the cut line if we had a little bit more optimistic view of the next, you know, 12 to 24 months in terms of revenue.
Yeah, actually, I do. You reminded me of one of my talking points that I forgot to hit on during the presentation. I think there's a lot of projects. I think the city manager went through how many different council priorities we're addressing with this, and all told, it's over $700,000 of project expense to do, improve development services, equity and inclusion assessment, improve parks facilities. So I think, is my take is the project, I don't think there's anything that fell below the cut line project basis. But what we need to look at for going out further, and if our structure, if our revenues do come in higher and we do end up having a strong structural surplus, is permanently increasing the size of city government. We haven't changed our staffing really in a decade while the community has continued to grow. So at some point we will need to, I think, increase city staffing on a structural way. And that is not for discussion, I think, this year, but that would be something that we'll be tackling in future budgets.
Rudy, thank you for bringing that up. I joined late to today's meeting, so I apologize for that. But what I didn't see on the plan at all is, you know, we've talked a lot about housing at our last meeting. We've talked about carrots and infrastructure dollars and how do we help support. And, you know, those are the things that I'm thinking of right now. I mean, I do see equitable and diverse housing inventory, but I just want to, yeah, state that out loud, that we really, if we have the opportunity to use these funds to help incentivize and really get serious about housing, that, you know, we also talk to the county and see how we could pool our resources.
I'll just say that I think that those strategies
the housing strategies that we're going to be looking at for affordable housing within this next group that we talked about at our council meeting, actually Monday night. We'll bring forth some of those possibilities and help prioritize those. And then once we get those prioritized, then we'll go, well, how much is that going to cost? So I don't think, I think we're on our way to getting some projects. We're not quite there, but if our revenues look good when all that comes together later this year, then we'll talk about that at that point. I'm assuming that that's what I was assuming.
I just think it's very important that we at least are really thinking of, you know, as it's been said here in this meeting, that we're thinking about the recovery process for our constituents and our community moving forward.
And perhaps it's not, you know, adding new projects, it's doing the projects that are on the table faster, right? If there's more money, we can accelerate some of those projects, get them cleared to move, you know, make room for new things. So I'm not necessarily, you know, arguing that we should do more, but maybe we could do the things that we're doing a little quicker and then get on to the next thing. So just something to contemplate, especially as we, you know, I like conservative revenue estimates too. I think that's smart, but we should know if there's any, you know, some more flexibility that we're leaving on the table.
Gary, you have a question or something?
Yeah, I was wondering if you could explain, like, what's the threshold or the trigger point of when the city starts receiving money from the water districts, and then maybe an approximate amount, like how much that's going to bump our revenue stream?
Could you clarify what you mean by receive money from water districts?
I thought that in your PowerPoint there, it was saying that possibly 23-24 we would start receiving money from the maybe not the water district, the waterfront. Is that right? I assume
waterfront. Oh yeah, the urban renewal district.
Urban renewal.
Yeah, the urban renewal district. Yes.
Oh yeah. Okay. I thought you were saying we're gonna take money from like Ice Mountain.
Well, if we can.
Yeah. urban renewal plans are created with a maximum on a set of projects that they're going to complete. And those projects equal a certain dollar amount. And you borrow money to fund those projects, infrastructure, you know, the parks, things that are going to spur development. And then that development brings on new tax, new assessed value onto the rolls, pays back the debt you incurred for the infrastructure projects to begin with. And then once that debt, all the debt is repaid that meets your maximum indebtedness, then the urban renewal district has reached the end of its existence, of its planned lifespan. And the waterfront urban renewal district is going to spend all of the money it's been authorized to spend in this next fiscal year on the waterfront Riverside Drive stormwater line relocation. And so in the next few years, it'll just go into sort of suspended animation, collecting money only to pay back debt on that project. And then once that project is paid off, all that money goes, all that assessed value then has the urban renewal district is done. And that's sort of the normal life cycle of an urban renewal district.
Thank you for explaining it.
Sure.
I think, I'm not sure if Gary was asking, if it went away this year, would we have another, would the city's portion of that be another $300,000 we'd have to spend, or how much?
Yeah, well, so last year it was 200.
200, okay.
200,000, but the water, but that's, there's still large developments that are still on enterprise zone tax abatements and more coming in all the time.
Right.
So I'm projecting that in 24-25, it'll be about the size that the Columbia Cascade is today. And so, yeah, it will be about a $300,000 bump to the general fund when it goes away in the future.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question.
I had a general question. Maybe you're going to do this when we get the agenda, but can you remind us which specific departments we'll be reviewing next week?
Oh, yes. Happy to. So general fund departments will be the next meeting. So police, fire, planning, and then Rachel and I will talk about some of the, you know, the other smaller ones like municipal court, parking, non-department. And then we'll move into public works for the third meeting.
And if we move more quickly, we can get through public works next week. Mark will be ready to do that.
Are we anticipating about 2 hours for the next meeting, do you think, or?
It'd be hard to tell. It's possible we could, you know, it depends how quickly we get through the general fund. Oh, excuse me, I have a bug in the background. 1 second. I think it's possible we could spend 2 hours on the general fund.
Is there
any
way that we could
clear?
Go ahead, counselor. Apologize.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just saying, if we know that this next meeting may be long, could we potentially start the meeting earlier?
Oh, I think we can definitely get through the general fund in 2 hours. I think the upside is maybe we can get through it quicker and get through the works as well.
Any other comments or questions or things to discuss before we're done for the day? All right, hearing none, I'm calling this meeting to recess. Thanks.
Adios.
Thanks, Rachel.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thanks. Thank you for your time, for your work.
Thanks, Will and Rachel.